Hello and welcome to Rebels Revisited. I'm your host Johnny Ullman. Today we're looking at the season 2 episode Legends of the Lasat. In this episode Ezra leads the crew on a mission to help some refugees, and Hera asks him who his contact was, and he doesn't really give up the information. But when they realise who the refugees are in a container, because the Empire has already arrived and are opening the container as they get there, it's two Lasat, Zeb species, an old woman and a young male. Of course, the crew pulls off a daring rescue, kills off the Imperials, hides them in the container, and Zeb is reunited with his people. The woman is an old wise woman who Zeb knows. Well, he knows who she is. And the man is Bronn, who served under Zeb when he was captain of the Honor Guard. And the Ghost crew are shocked to hear that Zeb was a captain of a guard. He didn't tell anyone, and he was ashamed because he feels like he failed in his job. They get them onto the ship after escaping the location, after they also realize that Hondo is the contact, and Hondo has basically done a double triple cross, basically for the best payday, because I think he knew that the rebels weren't going to give him any money. The Lasat are looking to find Lasan, a fabled new world where the Lasat can, you know, continue to live. And the old woman reads a prophecy that revolves around the fool, the warrior, and the child. And it turns, so the fool has set everything in motion, the fool being Hondo. The child must save the warrior, which, no idea. Zeb's the child. Agent Kallus, because now Kallus is chasing them, is the warrior, and Hondo, of course, is the fool. Kallus is chasing them because Hondo attached a tracker device to the communicator that Ezra had, of course. So Ezra destroys it, but they are pulled out of hyperspace by a imploded star cluster anomaly, and after locating the area that they had to go to when Zeb had to use his bow rifle in the way that the ancients used them, which basically he has to reconfigure it, and he points it into a map that the woman had generated, and he pointed them to a planet which is outside of wild space. So they reach this star cluster which hides the planet. Of course, Hera's like, we can't do this, and Zeb's like, I can guide us through, and using his bow rifle, he manages to direct the ship through the star cluster safely. Kallus sends out a group of TIEs to stop them, and the TIEs are all destroyed because of the gravitational pull, because they're not being guided through safely, obviously. When they get out of the cluster, when they get through the cluster, I should say, there is a planet nearby, and that would be Lasan. So they, Seb takes the woman and Bronn down to the planet. Sometime later, Zeb's been down there a while, and Ezra's like, is he coming back? And with him saying that, Zeb flies and lands the Phantom onto the ship. Sabine's like, aren't they going to be lonely, like just the two of them? And Zeb says, no, the planet is full of Lasard. This is where my people came from. We travel from here. And settled on the other planet. And so, you know, he says, right now, you know, he feels a lot more, you know, you can definitely see that Zeb feels a lot better. You know, now he knows that there are more of his people. He's not like the last one. And he's like, look, if we find any more, I know where to go, I can lead them there. And the route is plotted into the ghost so that they don't need to use bow rifle and the force and things like that to get there. Which, you know, cool, well done. So yeah, this episode is, you know, it kind of, you know, it's not a Rebels versus Empire episode. You know, the Empire makes an appearance, but it's just like there as a general antagonist rather than anything else, and that's good because, you know, we're finally getting an episode which allows Zeb to get some closure. You know, this was the thing that, you know, he's, you know, it was revealed, you know, right at the beginning of season one, you know, him and Kalos had got this beef because Kalos was one of the group that wiped out his people and just, you know, basically wrecked his home world. And, you know, it's really, it's like, you know, this episode acts as like Deb's closure. You know, he's not the only Lasan alive. You know, he's got a lot of people there. And, you know, he's, you know, if ever he needed it, he's got a new home, which is fantastic. Or a new home world, I should say, because his home is obviously the ghost. It was really interesting kind of watching Zeb kind of, at first he's like completely, you know, doesn't believe what the old woman's talking about when she talks about the Ashla. And as she describes it, Ezra's like, this sounds like the Force. And Kanan's like, yeah, but the Force goes by many names in different cultures. And Ezra's like, ah. So, and Ashla was originally part of something, was originally the name that they were going to give Ahsoka. And it's something that George Lucas has had in his mind. He had it in his mind for a long time, and Dave Filoni's finally kind of using it. And of course it crops up again later. With the Bendu, he says, you know, he's the one in the middle of the Ashla and the Bogan. And it's like, oh, okay, really interesting kind of uses of these old George Lucas concepts. So that was great. Bronn is voiced, I can't remember the guy's name. Ah, darn it, I've forgotten the actor's name. But he's voiced by the same person who voices Captain Cragen from Resistance. And, you know, he puts on a slightly deeper version of the voice for Bronn. But it's so obvious. And that's pretty funny. But, you know, it's kind of, and finding out about, and him basically being the one who kind of announces Zeb as the, as being the captain of the Honor Guard. You know, it's like, Zeb had a massive history that, you know, unfortunately we never really got to see or learn about. But, you know, the more, and this is the thing, like, the more we learn about these characters, the more fantastic the series got. And, like, this one, I mean, I really like Zeb. Zeb's always been, like, one of my favourites of the team. And having this episode where he really gets that closure just was fantastic. And it was, you know, it's not like the world's most entertaining, humorous episode or anything like that, but it is a fun episode. It gives us a lot of backstory to this character that, you know, everyone kind of likes. So yeah, there was that. The big battle at the beginning was great fun. It's really, I really like kind of like the resistance battles, and with Hondo helping them out, it's well done. Enjoyable action. And it's good that they kind of put it in at the beginning, because, you know, the rest of the episode really doesn't need it. You know, it gets on really well without the distraction of action, I guess you could kind of call it. Now, one thing that really stands out to me for this episode is the music. Like, Kevin Kiner really went all out with the, and I can't remember the name of the track. I do have the Rebel Season 2 soundtrack in my iTunes. But I can't remember the name of the track, and it's actually one of my favourite tracks. And they played it a couple of times on Rebels Recon as well, which was cool. And it was really, it's just really interesting, really different, and it's almost kind of beautiful music as well. You know, very synthetic, but very synthesized, but really enjoyable in terms of kind of what we get. So yeah, there was that as well. So that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your continued contributions to the blog and podcast. They're greatly appreciated, and they all go towards new things to discuss, to write about, to talk about. And I've got my eye on some new equipment as well, and that's that'll be coming soon, hopefully. So thank you very much, everyone, and punch it chewy.